Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The message you'll be hearing today is part two of The Promise. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 24. So this is part two of last week's message, The Promise. If you missed last week's message and you have access to a computer or a smartphone or a smart device, you can always go online. You can get on iTunes. You can download the message. You can listen to the message. Or you can go straight to Podbean. You can find the message there. The way you do that is you just go into the search bar of either one and just write Holt Assembly of God. And you'll find all of our messages listed there. For anyone who was not here last week, I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version then. So what is the promise? Well, the promise is listed in Luke 24. Jesus made this promise to his disciples. Behold, I send the promise. I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So the promise is listed here. And after Jesus gave this promise to his disciples, and he made this promise, he ascended into heaven. The disciples, in response, they went back to Jerusalem, obeying his command. They gathered there, they prayed, they began to seek the Lord, to wait for this promise. And as they prayed, 10 days later, it happened. It's recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2. The disciples received this promise on the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is an interesting day because it's a Jewish feast day. And Pentecost was a religious feast day. Devout Jews would celebrate it. It was in honor of the spring harvest, and it was required under Mosaic law to celebrate this harvest to give thanks. And Pentecost requires pilgrimage. So if you were a devout Jew and you wanted to keep Pentecost, you would pilgrimage or you would travel to Jerusalem and you would worship there. And so this is why in Acts chapter 2, when you read that there are Jews from all nations. They've gathered for Pentecost. There's a pilgrimage. So this is a great opportunity for the Spirit of God to be poured out. It's not by accident. It's by design. So Pentecost, when you look at it from how it is in a type and a shadow, it is forecasting. It's prophesying harvest. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 4. This is the day the church received the promise. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The promise is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's referred to, we call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that we would be baptized in the Spirit. So when the disciples received this promise, the Spirit of God was poured out upon them. They all spoke in tongues. That's the physical manifestation. That was the sign that they had received the promise. So tongues had a purpose at Pentecost. They still have an ongoing purpose today. But the main purpose for receiving this promise was power to be a witness. Talked about this last week. Power to be a witness. We receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we shall be witnesses. So as a result of receiving this power, the disciples were clothed in power. They went immediately out of the upper room, began to witness, share in the temple courts, began to fulfill this promise. The power of God supplied to disciples. It resulted in 3,000 people coming to Jesus. That's a good day, amen? When 3,000 souls enter into the kingdom of God, that's a good day. I'll say this, if one soul enters the kingdom of God, it's a good day. So in our church, just think about this. If we would get a hold of this promise, if we would truly get it into our hearts and operate in its purpose and its power, our community would forever be changed. I said our community would forever be changed. See, we like to say Pentecost, but our church would forever be changed, and it would, but the ultimate goal is that our community should be changed. Yes. Our community would never be the same if we operated in this purpose. For too long, we've allowed this what we do here on a Sunday morning as the pinnacle of our Pentecostal experience. It's the pinnacle in most Pentecostal churches, is what we do here today. There's nothing wrong with good services. There's nothing wrong with exciting praise and worship. There's nothing wrong with the Spirit of God working among us. There's nothing wrong with tangible evidence of God moving in our lives. But that's not the pinnacle. It's not the pinnacle of our Pentecostal experience. And I want to challenge everyone in this room. Let's get out of our upper room here on 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida, and let's get out into our community. Just as they did on the day of Pentecost. Amen? Some people, they confuse this promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with new birth. But they're two separate works. Two separate works. The disciples received the Holy Spirit on the evening of the resurrection. I know we shared this last week, but it's just good for you to remember this verse. John 20, verse 22. He's appearing to his disciples on the evening of the resurrection. They're gathered there. They're talking about what's taking place. The body of Jesus is missing. Some have said that he has risen. He appears and he says this. He breathed on them and said to them what? Receive the Holy Spirit. See, they were already born again when they were in the upper room. They had already received the Holy Spirit. They had not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's the promise. Have you received the promise? Here's the next question. Is the promise valid for today? Is it good for you and I as believers, or is this the something that's faded with history? Well, this is what Acts 2:39 says. Makes it very clear. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. God's still calling people today. Amen? So we still need the promise. We still need the power. Last Sunday, we focused mostly on this aspect of the promise. Power to be a witness. This morning, what we're going to do is we're going to focus, and I touched on this a little bit last week, but I want us to focus on this aspect of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. An overflowing fullness of the Spirit. How do we remain filled with the Spirit? As we pour out of ourselves, we have to position ourselves before God to stay filled. Amen? Amen. It just doesn't happen by itself. You have to position yourself before God and stay filled with His Spirit. This world, this culture, this life, it doesn't matter if you've had a good day or a bad day. Things you will encounter will drain you spiritually. Are you following me? Life will hit you when you least expect it, and it just pulls it out of you. See, we could get spiritually depleted at times. No one in here is Superman. We're all going to be depleted by situations. King David wrote about this in the Old Testament. There's a story of David. And what takes place is he's going through a time in his life where he's spiritually depleted. Psalm 63, verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a day and thirsty land where there is no water. If you don't know the timing of that psalm, it's this. David was writing this psalm at the time his son Absalom had rebelled. Absalom, if you'll remember, basically there was a coup. And David had to flee Jerusalem for his life because his son was going to kill him. Because his son was going to establish his kingdom. And so what he wanted was dad out of the way. David's on the run. Absalom is seeking to destroy his father. And he writes Psalm 63. See, life will deplete you. Life will, you'll find yourself when things don't make sense, when life's not going right, when you say, why is this happening to me? This is exactly what happens. You'll get into a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. All of us are going to experience times and seasons that will draw every ounce of our spiritual energy out of us, out of our inner man, and we need to replenish ourselves. God does not want us to go through life half empty. That's not his plan. That's not his desire. That's not why he supplies the Holy Spirit to us. Often we become spiritually depleted. And when we get depleted, you know what we do? We turn to the flesh. See, when we get depleted spiritually, We'll accept religion. We'll be okay with just coming to church. But things will begin to fall off our life. What was most important will not stay most important. See, when we get spiritually depleted, we'll do this. We'll make bad decisions. In a dry season, we'll make poor choices. The patriarch Abraham was promised by God children. But years passed. The promise, nothing happened. Sarah remained barren. And as a result of continued barrenness, Abraham and Sarah decided to help God out. It's a bad thing, isn't it? God doesn't need any help. If you ever get to that place where you're trying to help God out, you don't need to. It's a bad idea. So Abraham and Sarah decided they're going to help God out. God needed a little help. We needed to give him a little something to work with. So they decide that they're going to give Sarah's maid, her slave, to Abraham as a concubine, and that conceived children through that concubine. That just sounds like a great plan, doesn't it? This is the aspect that we forget. We read pages and we don't realize 13 years passes. See, they have the child. If you're here on the Genesis study, you know that. So they have the child, they have Ishmael, they think everything's fine. I mean, God's going to fulfill his plan through Ishmael. And so years go by and suddenly God shows up and says, hey, that's not the plan. Sarah is going to have a child and you are to name his name Isaac. Ishmael is not the son of promise. He's not the heir. You know, for all these years, they were going through life thinking they had made a good decision. But in a time of weakness, they made a poor decision. See, I think that happens to a lot of us. We'll go through life, we'll make a decision, and often the fruits of that begin to manifest at a later time. The challenge then is to stay filled with the Spirit, to stay filled so that you don't make poor decisions. When you get weak and you get tired and you become weary, you will make decisions out of the flesh. Stay full of His Spirit. If you're thirsty and you're dry, the only thing that will satisfy you is the Holy Spirit. Only the presence of God will bring satisfaction to your soul. Nothing else will. Life will deplete you. It will take a toll on you spiritually. And if you're not careful, you'll become into a season of barrenness. And that's why when you know you're running low, you're running dry, you need to get to the presence of God. You need just to saturate yourself in His presence. Running on fumes spiritually is not God's plan. It's not His plan. That's not His intention. That's not His desire for us to continue to run on the fumes of the past. What that does, again, it leads to poor decision, and it will lead to disillusionment. So maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a financial situation, a health situation, a family situation, just the hustle and bustle of life where you've been rode hard and hung out wet. You ever felt like that? Guess what? You need replenished. You need replenished. God wants to pour into you, but you have to seek. You have to seek and you have to receive. See, normal everyday life, depleted spiritually, no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how spiritually mature you are, life is going to deplete you and you need to replenish yourself. But listen, you're not alone. God will help you, amen? If we think we're strong enough, we're big enough, we're bad enough, we're super macho Christian, and we think we can take those seasons and we'll be fine, can I point you to one great example? And that's Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted, listen, he didn't go on day one, did he? Devil didn't mess with him day one. Remember, Jesus is God in the flesh. Fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. Then the tempter came to him. See, Satan doesn't play fair, church. He'll wait for an opportunity. He'll wait for a moment where you're spiritually depleted, and he will attack. He will take out the ball bat and go right at your kneecaps. He does not fight fair. Life is not fair. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. And if we're not careful, listen, that attack of the enemy can pull us way down. And I just want to encourage you today, you can avoid this. Run to the presence of God. Run to His presence. And listen, if you think you're going to run there and get a one-stop fill-up and that's going to be it, that's probably not going to be the case. You better stay in the presence of the Lord, amen? Because as fast as it can come in, as fast as it can be poured out of you. When Jesus was tired, hungry, thirsty, isolated, that's when the tempter came at him. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into that same position, and the tempter will come to us. And that's when we make bad decisions. Experiencing the promise, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're filled with His Spirit, but you have to stay filled. You have to stay filled with His Spirit. We can be filled, but we have to remain filled. Look, Ephesians 5:18. I mentioned this verse last week. Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, and which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled or be filled, that what's communicating is a continuous filling of the Spirit of God. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I can make it any clearer that we need to remain continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. If the disciples who walked with Jesus remained continuously filled with the Holy Spirit, don't you think you and I should remain continuously filled with the Holy Spirit? It also tells you this. If you have to remain continuously filled with the Holy Spirit, it means that you could be depleted. So life will deplete you. Some of you are running on fumes right now. You're running on fumes. It takes a person who has ran on fumes to know a person who runs on fumes. You're not faking me. Listen, just showing up to church don't fake me out either. I'm telling you, there's some of you, you're running on fumes, and it's dangerous. God wants to pour into you this morning. The Word of God is clear. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit, and don't be satisfied with just being filled once. You need to be continuously filled. John 7, verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, are you thirsty this morning? Let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his inner man, out of his being, will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Good news, Jesus has been glorified, and the Holy Spirit has been given. So come to him and drink, amen, and receive rivers of living water from your inner man. You'll experience dryness, but run to Jesus. Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly, amen. Life and life more abundantly. If anyone is thirsty, come to him and drink. So how do we drink? How do we drink? It's pretty easy. It's not rocket science. Eliminate situations. And you can't do this. You can't just run and hide from everything. I get that. But don't intentionally run to conflict. Okay, don't intentionally get yourself in situations. Don't get yourself involved in drama. Some of you get involved in drama. Drama will drain you. It'll make you do stupid things. And then you have to post things. You have to unpost things. So eliminate drama. Eliminate situations, circumstances. They'll drain you spiritually and isolate you. Eliminate spiritual substitutes. Religion won't work, church. It just won't. Go to church. Pastor, I'm tired. It's exactly why you need to be in church, by the way. See, it's one thing to be physically tired. You can find rest. But it's another thing to be spiritually tired. So you can say, I'm so tired, I don't even feel like coming to church. Get your butt up and go. You need it. Here's why. You need to find rest. You'll find rest. There's something about coming together with the body of Christ and worshiping. Now, if you're going to come there with the attitude that I'm not going to get anything, or that's your negative attitude, you will not receive. But if you come looking for a drink of water, you'll find a drink of water. Worship. Give praise. Read your Bible. Get a book that builds your faith. Pray. Receive prayer. That's why you need to come to church. Have people pray for you. Encourage you. Listen to the word preached. All of us, this will help us. It will help. It gives the Holy Spirit avenues to fill us, to pour into us. But there's one I really want to focus on this morning. There's one aspect of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we often practice, but we don't really talk about it a whole lot. And this morning, I want to talk about it, and let's look back at Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I don't know why that scares people. It's in the Bible. Do we believe the Bible or not? So they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in other tongues. They overflowed from within. And as a result, they spoke in tongues. The Holy Spirit giving them utterance. The Spirit pours into you, you yield and you speak. That's how that works. It's not something magical. The Holy Spirit doesn't take over your tongue and start talking for you. The Spirit gives you the utterance. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So why tongues? What's the purpose? This is often the question that happens that we don't often address. Why tongues? Remember, the disciples in Acts, they have the Holy Spirit, yes? They have the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. So they already have the Holy Spirit in them. They just have been baptized. The Spirit of God has not been poured out. Remember, this is just water. It'll dry. Baptized, overflowing, immersed, covered, drenched. That's the experience they had. Why tongues? It's an overflowing experience. Let me put it in perspective. Luke 6:45. Jesus says this, for out of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? The mouth speaks. Think about this, Rich. So the Spirit of God pours into you, gives you there's an overflowing effect out of your mouth. A Spirit-inspired language comes out. Jesus said that when they received the promise, there would be like a flowing of water coming from their hearts. What comes out of the heart? The mouth speaks. Are you following me now? When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our mouths are filled with a heavenly language because our spirit is flooded within us. What's on the inside is going to come on the outside. There's a flood immersion that takes place in our inner being. Upon receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, our hearts are filled with the presence of God. There's a flow from our heart, from our inner man, and our mouth speaks. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Get it into your spirit. Prayer is talking to God, by the way. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. You can call it speaking in tongues, praying in the spirit, all you want. It's the same thing. You're talking to God. You're not talking to men. It's a spirit language. When a person receives, they'll speak in tongues. But it's from their spirit. Speaking in tongues is a prayer language also. You may be thinking, what does this have to do with being filled and being refilled with the Spirit? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Everyone say edifies. Edifies, built up, encouraged is what that word means. Edified. Encouraged. When a person speaks in a tongue, he does not speak to man, but to? Okay, he who speaks in a tongue edifies him. So when we pray in the Spirit, we're not talking to man, we're talking to God. As a result, our spirit is edified. It's encouraged. It's built up. You ever gone through a day where you need encouraged? Pray in the Spirit. When you don't know how to pray anymore and nothing comes out but just groans and moans of the day, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Don't get yourself so depleted that you're trying to do it all on your own. Allow the Spirit of God to be poured back into you. Pray in the Spirit. Some people read 1 Corinthians 14 and they think Paul's condemning tongues. He never condemns tongues. Never. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not, look at this, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. This is the real issue of correction. It's how they were conducting themselves, mainly in worship, when they were gathered together. See, tongues aren't condemned. It's how they were operating that was the problem. It was how they were operating. And this is where he's bringing correction. Paul's correcting people who were praying in the Spirit out loud during worship service in a very selfish fashion. Let me kind of give you some scenarios here, and I think you'll see what's happening. Some people We're operating in the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues needs what? What does it need? Interpretation. So the gift of tongues needs an interpretation. But if someone's praying in the Spirit, it does not need an interpretation. It does not need. I'm going to show you it. I don't know how we miss this. When a man prays in the Spirit, when he prays in a tongue, who's he praying to? See, what was happening, everybody was going at once. Someone's trying to preach, share words. Someone stand up, sister so-and-so stands up and gives tongue. Someone else will start just praying in the Spirit. Disorder, chaos. If an unbeliever comes in, will they not say you are out of your mind? Yes, and rightfully so. But yet that's how we conduct some Pentecostal services. We're our own worst enemy on this. See, believers in Corinth knew that when they prayed in the Spirit, they were edified, they were built up. Man, I feel good. God's encouraged me. God's empowered me. So when they were in church, they just thought, hey, let's go for gold. Let's get more of God. Let's just get some more selfishness in us. Who cares about everyone else? You know, if I'm built up, forget about you. Boy, I've even heard that in church. I've heard people say that. We encourage that behavior. Now, I understand what they're trying to say. Don't let someone who's an old sourpuss hold you back from worshiping God. But what happened in Corinth was there was this focus on self. It was just selfishness, and that's what Paul is correcting. He's not forbidding speaking in tongues. He's bringing correction on the misuse. Remember who these people are. Gentiles. It was Gentile. You're coming out of a culture that is filled with idolatry. It's filled with all sorts of false religion. These people get a hold of God. They get a hold of the Spirit of God, and they don't know what to do. You know what? This happens in our world today. This happens a lot overseas. You can ask missionaries. This will take place. They got to bring correction. They got to bring order because something fabulous has been poured in their life. They experience this power of God. They feel His presence. And they just, listen, they're going to react the way they used to react. So you have to bring correction. He's not condemning. He's just correcting. Correction is good. Amen. God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. People were more concerned about being edified. They did not care about others. See, you can pray in the Spirit anywhere. Anywhere. Pray in the Spirit at home. You can pray in the Spirit driving down the road. You can pray in the Spirit here. But when it becomes the focus, when you become the focal point, that's the issue. See, Paul did not tell worshipers in Corinth they couldn't pray in the Spirit during corporate worship services. He was not forbidding tongues. He was just bringing order from chaos. Look what he says. 1 Corinthians 14:50. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, but I also will pray with understanding. So for us, we'll pray in the Spirit in a tongue, but we should pray in English as well. It's not that we go around all day just praying in tongues. That's not the goal. You should pray in the Spirit and pray in your language, amen, in English. I think that's your first language. Look, he goes on further. I will sing with the Spirit. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe they're singing in the Spirit. Yes, you can. It's right there. And I will also sing with understanding. I don't see anywhere where it says that must have an interpretation, by the way. Tell me, where is it at? See, it's not. We're confusing these issues. When he goes down further, he'll correct the gift when it's in operation. But praying in the Spirit does not have to have an interpretation. A man who prays in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. It's a corrective letter. Paul's bringing correction, but he's not forbidding tongues. What he's saying is this, church, if we pray here, if we're going to pray in the Spirit, if we're going to operate in the gifts, it should be done with order and decency. Order and decency. If it was wrong, he would just say, stop it. No more. He's not saying stop, but he's just saying, let's bring some order to this. Paul's not saying it's wrong to pray in the Spirit. They're benefited from you. You're edified. Your spirit is edified. That's a good thing. You're being edified, but you're not edified at the expense of others. Pentecostals, we tend to think everything has to be loud. We got to be loud, don't we? See, I'm not preaching unless I'm loud. All right, everything has to be loud. Even when we pray in the Spirit, it has to be loud. Well, that's not Pentecostal. So is it Pentecostal to be loud, or is it just Pentecostal to be a person who is of the Spirit? If you're speaking in the heavenly language, heaven hears you. You're not heard because your volume. Listen, there are times, I don't know about you, and I don't even have to do this when I'm praying in the Spirit. There are times I raise my voice. God, where are you at? But let's not fall into the Pentecostal rut that says you got to be loud for God to hear you, because he don't. Sometimes you just be frustrated, and it just comes out of you loud. But remember, order and decency is the theme here. I pray in the Spirit every day, but it's in normal prayer volume. Again, heaven hears me. Heaven hears me. Why does it have to be any different in here? Why does it have to be any different in here? Preachers, especially Pentecostal preachers, we think that has to get a certain volume and intensity for it to be the Holy Spirit, and that's just wrong. We know, this is what we know. If so-and-so is loud and bold and strong in their prayer language, someone else will be also. But can I tell you this, that there's sometimes we got to be careful that we don't make this our laboratory at the expense of God. Can't just have, listen, souls, people come to church. Some people you may think are born again and are not. I don't care how long they've sat in a pew. The fruit is on the tree or not on the tree. So my point is this. This cannot just be a laboratory. If you want to go practice something, go home, right? Pray loud in the Spirit all you want. And I'm not forbidding speaking in tongues. I'm not forbidding the gift of tongues. I'm not forbidding any of that, but with order and decency. Can I just say this? About 50% of the time during worship, I was praying in the Spirit. Did you hear me? Why? See what I'm saying? You don't have to be this genuine to be genuine. Just be real. There's nothing wrong with praying in the Spirit. But again, it can't happen what happened in Corinth, and that was this chaos and confusion. Remember, God is not the God of confusion, but of order. Here's again, another misconception is tongues must have an interpretation. When a believer has received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, when they receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I'll give you two examples. Cornelius, at the house of Cornelius, they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues, but no one interpreted the tongues. In Ephesians, the Ephesian believers received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues and prophesied, but no one gave the interpretation. Why? Because tongues were a sign that they had received the promise. So right there, when everyone says every tongue has to have an interpretation, you're wrong. Those are two bold examples that do not have interpretations. So that should cause you, if that's in your mind that it has to be, then it should cause you to pause and say, maybe I'm wrong about this. Because a man who prays, a person who prays in a tongue, in the Spirit, does not speak to men, but to God. God knows what you're saying. He poured it into you, by the way. There's a difference between tongues as a sign received when a person is baptized in the Spirit, and there's a difference between tongues as a spiritual gift, which should have an interpretation. Should have an interpretation. And there's a difference between tongues as a prayer language because it's a conversation between the believer and God and does not require an interpretation. Believers who have received the baptism in the Spirit can pray in the Spirit at any time. Did you hear me? You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to get on you. He's already in you, by the way. You should pray in the Spirit every day. I believe that if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you should pray in the Spirit every day. It's not a feeling. Pray in the Spirit daily. When you get dry and thirsty, pray in the Spirit. When you get dry and thirsty, pray in English. When you get dry and thirsty, sing in the Spirit. When you get dry and thirsty, sing in English. Sing in your favorite song. Replenish yourself. Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Just stare at that for a while. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Edifying, building, encouraging, strengthening, renewing. Why? How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. When you speak in a tongue, you do not speak to men, but to God. Pray in the Holy Spirit. When you are depleted, pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians, again, 14:12. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Look at the end of the verse. In the Spirit, and he speaks mysteries. In his Spirit, he speaks mysteries. When you pray in the Spirit language is from your Spirit. You're speaking to God, not men. Look, just kind of give you some little clips here. 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. My spirit prays. When you pray in the spirit, your spirit prays, you're edified, you're encouraged, you're built up. Why do I need to pray in the spirit? Why do I need to pray in tongues? Because it builds you up, it encourages you. And when you don't know how to pray and life hits you and nothing comes out, you better pray in the spirit, amen? Amen. Some of you need to be encouraged this morning. You need to receive the promise, and some of you just need to be refilled. Some of you need to be born again. It's time for you to receive. If you're spiritually depleted, you need to experience a refill. You need to experience the presence of God. And when church is over, we close this time of prayer. Come to this altar and seek His face. Amen. By the way, this is not the only place you can receive. This is not the only place you can receive. I would encourage you to come to this altar and seek God's face. Because if you'll seek here, you'll seek anywhere. If you're truly thirsty, you'll seek. But if you're satisfied with religion, just stay where you're at. Every one of us can get religious, including the preacher. First, I want to do this. I want to do this for you. Just get yourself prepared to receive. Here's what I would ask you to do. Allow the Holy Spirit to examine your heart first. Is there any act of sin in your life? If so, repent of it, amen? Repent of it. Turn from your sins. Make a conscious effort to distance yourself from this world. Listen, this world has an attraction to it. And this world, it's like a bug zapper, right? The light looks pretty until you get zapped. Make a conscious effort to distance yourself from the... I'm not saying you have to be some monk, but don't dine on the world all the time. Engage the presence of God more consistently. How do you do that? Through prayer. Through worship, through praise, through reading the Word, studying, meditating on the Word. Sometimes just sit somewhere where you just listen to God. Listen to Him. We don't do that. We're Pentecostal. We always got to be praying in the Spirit or something, right? There's a word called meditate. Listen, contemplate, right? Take time to hear from God. Humble yourself. Go to church. Participate in worship. All these will help you receive. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Jesus was very clear. If you're thirsty spiritually, there's water available. It's like a river of living water that's available. And all you have to do is receive. Amen.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope it was a blessing to you. If this weekly program ministers to you, we would love to know. Write us, give us a call, or send us a message. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.